Welcome to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine's Fiction Podcast. I'm Janet Hutchings, EQMM's editor. This month we bring you our final episode in a series of radio plays produced by Dave Amaral, based on the Dr. Sam Hawthorne stories of Edward D. Hoke. The setting this time is Christmas in the fictional New England town of Northmont, a fitting way, we thought, to wish our readers and listeners happy holidays. As in all of the Hawthorne stories, Dr. Sam is confronted here with a seemingly impossible crime, to which he finds an ingenious solution.
We reached the belfry and pushed open the trap door above our heads. The first thing I saw was Parson Wigger outstretched on the floor a few feet away. His face was up, and the jeweled hilt of a gypsy dagger protruded from the center of his chest.
It's time to join Sam Hawthorne, retired New England practitioner, and listen to another locked room mystery, another miracle problem. Tonight, the problem of the Christmas steeple.
Well, now, it had been quiet in Northmont. How about a small libation before we start, huh? There we go. Now, about 2 weeks before Christmas, 1925 it was, I drove just outside of town to Minnie Haskins' farm to visit a gypsy family that was camped out on one of her meadows. The gypsies had been there about a month. Minnie Haskins didn't seem to mind, but that didn't make the townsfolk any happier about it. I'd been there a few days earlier to examine a sick child, and I decided it was about time for a return visit. I knew there was little chance of my ever being paid, but it was something I felt bound to do. As I neared the gypsy wagon, I saw Parson Wigger's buggy and the parson standing talking to the gypsy, Carranza Loara. Carranza was a dark, brooding man with a black mustache and long hair touching the top of his ears. Except for an old injury, which had left him with a withered right arm, Carranza was the picture of strength. The parson was about the same size and age, but gave the impression of a physical weakness. He was balding some, and he wore thick eyeglasses.
Morning, Dr. Sam.
Morning, Parson.
What brings you out here?
I've been treating Carranza's little girl for a throat infection. Thought I'd come out to see how she was getting along. Hello, Carranza.
It is good of you to visit, Denny, Doctor.
I've been trying to help these people get settled for the winter. The wagon hardly provides adequate shelter.
We have survived winters before.
But not here in New England, Carranza. You see, Doctor, they come from the south, as do most gypsies. I've encountered them many times in my travels.
The south?
Spain exiled gypsies to Latin America hundreds of years ago. They've been working their way north ever since.
Do you come from Latin America?
A long, long time ago.
Carranza!
Come, Volga. It is Dr. Sam to see Tenny.
It is good of you to come, Doctor.
Hello, Volga. How are you feeling, Tenna?
Tenna, the doctor has come out here to see you. You must thank him.
Thank you, Doctor.
How is your throat, Tenna?
I am better.
She is much better today.
This is quite warm for a December in Northmont, but you should try to keep her in for another day or so.
Come, Tenna. Back to the wagon.
Oh.
Come, Tenna. Your father will be with us soon.
Your wife is very young and very beautiful, Carranza.
Gypsy women marry young, Parson. It is custom. You should come to gypsy wedding sometime and see the groom carry off the bride by force. It is not like your Christian weddings.
I imagine not. But I will come to a gypsy wedding if you honor me with your presence at my church.
Your townspeople do not like us, Parson. They call us beggars and thieves.
They might like you more if they saw you attending Christian services.
We have no church. We could pay a visit to your service.
Come, then, on Christmas Day. It's just 2 weeks away. Once you know the people and are friendly with them, you might even find an old barn to stay the winter.
Would a barn be any warmer than our wagon and our fire? I think not.
Come anyway. You won't regret it. No one can hate a fellow Christian on Christmas.
I think you will see us in 2 weeks.
Fine, fine.
On Christmas morning, it was snowing gently. And from a distance, Parson Wigger's church looked like a Currier and Ives painting. Parson Wigger was out front, bundled up against the cold and snow, greeting the people as they arrived. I waved to the parson and stopped to chat with Eustace Carey, who ran one of Northmont's two general stores.
How are you, Doc?
Oh, hello, Eustace. Merry Christmas to you. Same to you. We got good weather for it. Folks say the gypsies are coming to the service. You heard anything about it?
Nothing wrong with going to church on Christmas, is there?
What's wrong is them being there in the first place.
What do you mean?
I think they hexed Minnie Haskins to get permission to camp on her land. These gypsy women can hex a person, you know.
Well, hex or no hex, looks like they're here.
Well, I don't like them. Look at the parson making over them, as if they were decent folk. They look funny, they smell funny, and they got funny names.
Oh, I don't know about that. Some folks would say a name like Eustace is a mite funny.
We followed the crowd into church and took our seats in one of the pews. After a few moments' wait, Parson Wigger came out wearing his long black cassock and white surplice.
First of all, I want to wish each and every one of my parishioners, and I feel you are all my parishioners, the very merriest of Christmases and the happiest of New Years.
I'd never been a great one for listening to sermons, and I found my eyes wandering to the gypsies down in front. If the sermon was boring them, they were very good at masking their feelings. Sitting right behind them, and none too happy about it, was Minnie Haskins, who'd given them permission to use her land. Later, when Parson Wigger had concluded his service, I sought out Minnie, just outside the church.
Hello there, Dr. Sam. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Minnie. How's the leg?
Fit as a fiddle. Touch of rheumatism can't keep me down.
That's good.
Say, what are them gypsies doing here, Doc?
Well, what do you mean?
I'm in enough trouble with folks for letting them camp on my farm. Now they come to church.
It's Christmas, Minnie. I think they should be welcomed.
Well, lots of folks are upset with Parson Wigger for inviting them, I'll tell you that.
I haven't heard any complaints, except from Eustace Carey.
Well, him and others, too. Say, here comes Eustace now.
Say, Minnie, there's something I've been meaning to ask you about. Oh, Minnie! Either she's getting hard of hearing or she's trying to avoid me.
Still worried about the Lawara family, Eustace?
Soon as I get that parson alone, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. Bad enough is asking the gypsies to our church, but then he has to take them right down front.
Where are they now?
Would you believe it? He's taking them up in a steeple to show them the view.
Oh?
They can't read or write, you know. No gypsy can.
If that's true, it's because they haven't been taught. A little schooling would help.
Say, isn't that the gypsy woman leaving now? I'm going back to talk with that parson about this.
Wait a minute. I don't remember seeing Carranza leave the church. He might have stayed behind to talk with Parson Wigger.
Ah, heck with it. I'm going home.
Well, I'll see you, Eustace. Wish the family a Merry Christmas.
Hello there, Dr. Sam. Just coming from church?
Hello, Sheriff. That I am. The snow came just in time for Christmas.
Well, the kids with new sleds will like it. Say, you see Parson Wigger around?
Eustace said the parson was up showing some folks the steeple a little bit ago. I haven't seen him come out. What's up, Sheriff?
Funny thing about the parson. Say, there he is in the church doorway.
He must have taken off his white surplice.
Parson Wigger!
For just an instant, a stray beam of light reflected off the parson's thick glasses as he quickly turned back into the church, bumping into the doorframe. It was almost as if the sight of Sheriff Lenz had suddenly terrified him. The sheriff and I reached the back of the church together, just in time to see Wigger's black cassock vanish up the stairs to the belfry.
He closed the door after him. Is he running away from us?
He'd hardly run up there to get away from us. There's no other way out.
Let me at that door. We're coming up, Parson.
We reached the belfry and pushed open the trap door above our heads. The first thing I saw was Parson Wigger outstretched on the floor a few feet away. His face was up, and the jewel hilt of a gypsy dagger protruded from the center of his chest. Then something made me turn around and look behind the open trap door. Carranza Larrawa was crouched there, an expression of sheer terror on his face.
The parson is dead. He's been murdered.
I did not kill him. You must believe me. I did not kill him.
Well, Parson Wigger's body had been removed, and Carranza Lawara was arrested for the murder. The sheriff and I went back to the belfry for a better look.
Notice the chicken wire tacked up over the open windows?
Birds.
What?
The parson didn't want birds nesting up here. That's why I put up the wire fencing.
You can't even see it from the street. The wire's so fine.
What do they say about bad news traveling fast?
Yes. Look at the crowd gathering below.
More than the parson had for his Christmas service. That ought to tell you something about people, Doc.
So, you think Carranza killed the parson?
Who else? He was up here alone with him.
But why Carranza, of all people? Wigger was trying to help them find a home. Hello?
What are you doing up here, Eustace?
I just heard about the parson. What happened?
I guess Carranza must have hid up here. We saw Parson Wigger down by the front door, and I wanted to talk to him. He seemed to run away from us, and he bolted the steeple door after him. By the time the doc and I got up here, he was dead with a gypsy dagger in his chest.
I knew them gypsies were up to no good. I knew they couldn't be trusted. It's like I was telling the doc.
Sheriff, we both agree that the parson was running away from you. What was it you were so anxious to see him about?
Well, it don't make no difference now that he's dead.
Sheriff Lenz went down and spoke to the curious crowd. Early the next morning, I went to the office. It was a Saturday, and I'd gone mainly to pick up the mail. Most of my regular patients called me at home if they needed me on the weekend, but there was always the chance of an emergency. This time, the emergency wasn't the sort I expected.
Dr. Hawthorne, I must see you.
Good morning, Volga.
Oh, doctor, you must help him. I know he's innocent.
How do you know?
He could not kill Parson Wigger like that. The parson was our friend.
You calm down now. We'll do what we can to help him.
You will go there? Some say he will be taken from jail and hanged by townspeople.
Lynched? That can't happen here in Northmont.
Have you not heard the story of Gypsy who was hanged from the bandstand in the park?
That was a long time ago. This is 1925.
Will you not go down to the jail?
You just sit down and rest. I'll go on and see the sheriff.
Oh, thank you, doctor.
I left her at the office and walked the three blocks through snowy streets. Sheriff Lenz had an unexpected visitor, Minnie Haskins.
Good morning to you, Dr. Sam.
Hello, Minnie.
not a very pleasant Christmas for the town, is it?
Sure ain't.
You visiting the prisoner, Minnie?
I'm trying to find out from the sheriff here when them gypsies be off my land. I was out there this morning asking them to leave. They won't move an inch with Carranza sitting there in jail.
Remember, Minnie, you gave them permission to stay.
Well, that was before they up and killed the parson.
I'd like to speak with the prisoner, Sheriff.
Well, I don't know. It's a bit irregular.
His wife asked me to come by and see him.
Well, all right, Doc. Come with me. You got a visitor, Carranza.
Doctor, have you come to deliver me from this place?
5 minutes, Doc.
I've come, Carranza, because Volga asked me to. But if I'm going to help you, I have to know everything that happened yesterday.
I have told truth. I did not kill Parson Wigger.
Why didn't you leave the church with your wife?
I wanted to speak with the parson in private. He wanted to help us.
And what happened?
He went down after the others had left church. He stood in doorway, looking after them. Then he came back very quickly as if he feared someone following him. I was looking out through the wire to street below. I did not see him come through trap door. I did not see what happened. I only heard him cry in pain and fall to floor.
You saw no one else?
There was no one. He could have been knifed in the church below.
He couldn't have made it up the belfry stairs so quickly with a knife in his chest. I doubt if he could have made it up at all.
I do not know what happened.
How about the dagger? Had you ever seen it before?
It was my dagger. I wore it yesterday beneath my coat, but it must have been taken from me in crowd.
That's hard to believe.
It must have been so.
Yeah, why would anyone want to kill Parson Wigger?
So that gypsy would be blamed for it.
The snow stopped falling as I walked down to the church. In my pocket, wrapped in newspaper, was the gypsy dagger that had killed the parson. I didn't believe that the dagger could have come through the wire mesh, but it was a possibility I had to eliminate. I entered the unguarded church and climbed once more to the belfry in the steeple. True, the knife could be worked through the wire mesh, but it simply could not have been thrown from outside. On the way back to the jail, I took a shortcut across the side of the churchyard, and it was there that something caught my eye, though it was as white as the snow on the ground and half buried in it. I pulled it free and saw that it was a white surplice, like the one Parson Wigger had worn during the Christmas service. There was a dark red stain surrounding a tear about an inch long. I turned to stare up at the steeple that towered above me, and it was then I realized what had happened to Parson Wigger. When I returned to the jail, I found that Sheriff Lenz had another visitor.
I tell you, Sheriff, you should have run off those gypsies right at the start. If you had, Parson Wigger would have been alive today. Lots of folks are mighty unhappy, and there's talk of a lynching.
Well, now, Eustace, I wouldn't put much stock in it. But I reckon I could ship him over to the county seat.
It wouldn't be the first time a gypsy killer was hanged in Northmont.
That was near 50 years ago. But I reckon I can't take chances.
Even if you keep him safe, there's talk of burning down his wagon.
Now, just a minute, Eustace. Settle down, and I'll tell you what really happened to Parson Wigger.
What do you mean by that?
Sheriff, there's something more you've got to tell me. You were looking for the parson on Christmas Day for some reason. Some reason that couldn't wait.
I told you it don't matter now.
Don't you see it does matter? Now more than ever. Sheriff, there's a group of local businessmen forming across the street. Carranza's life may depend on this.
Well, maybe you're right, Doc. I'm getting too old to keep secrets anyway. The Hartford police sent me a telegram suggesting I question Parson Wigger. Seems he wasn't a real parson at all.
What?
Seems he'd passed himself off as a parson in Hartford some time back till somebody checked on his background and then they ran him out of town.
Well, why was he hiding behind the cloth?
Some said he was running some kind of con game. Others thought he was more interested in the parish wives. Whatever was behind his masquerade, his background was mighty shady.
Don't you both see what happened? Wigger was standing in the church doorway, and he saw us coming for him. The sight of the law frightened him. Why else would he run away? It was fear that drove him up there. Fear of the sheriff and of the truth.
Doc, are you saying the gypsy didn't kill him?
When Wigger heard that bolt break loose of the wood and heard us on the stairs, he knew he was about to be uncovered. He took Carranza's dagger and plunged it into his own chest.
It took a lot more talking after that to convince them that was the solution. I had to get Carranza out of his cell and demonstrate that he couldn't have stabbed the parson with his right hand because of that old arm injury, and by the angle of the wound, that it was made by a right-handed person. So the sheriff released Carranza the following morning. I had proved that Carranza had not killed the parson, but I didn't believe for a second that such a man would kill himself, simply because the sheriff wanted to talk to him. I felt it remained for me to deal with the real killer. I drove over the snow-rutted roads to Minnie Haskins' place, past the farmhouse to the gypsy wagon in the meadow. Carranza and his family came out to greet me.
How can we ever thank you, Dr. Hawthorne? You have saved my husband from imprisonment and death.
I owe you my thanks, my freedom.
As he spoke, I reached out and yanked at his long black hair, which came away in my hand. He was almost bald Dr. without Hawthorne. His wig. I stripped the mustache from his upper lip, and he made no effort
doctor,
to stop me.
A little deception. Will you have me arrested again just because I wear false hair and a mustache? Does it tell you, after all, that I killed Parson Wigger?
No, but it does tell me that Volga killed him.
Oh, this man is a demon. How could he know?
Silence. Why do you say these things?
I realized what had happened when I found this bloodstained surplice in the churchyard.
And what does it tell you?
It tells me that Parson Wigger was wearing this when he was stabbed. Yet it was not on the body. And Sheriff Lenz and I had seen him in the church doorway without it.
It does not prove anything.
It proves that the person we saw in the doorway was not Wigger. And he fled from us. Because if we would have gotten any closer, we would have known he wasn't Wigger. The person in the doorway was you, Carranza.
Merely a guess.
More than a guess. You made two slip-ups. When you turned from us in the church doorway, you bumped into the doorframe because you weren't used to his thick glasses. And yesterday in your cell, you told me that Wigger had stood in the doorway, something you couldn't have seen if you'd been in the belfry at the time as you said you had.
You say I was the parson for a fleeting moment? It does not prove Volga killed him.
The impersonation gave you no alibi. The only purpose was to shield another person, the real killer. Volga had left the church. Now, where did you carry the little dagger, Volga? In your stocking top?
He tried to.
Yes, I know. Wigger wasn't a real parson.
What?
He'd been in trouble before because of his interest in parish wives.
The pig deserved to die.
Volga fought back, and her hand found the dagger she always carried. She stabbed him there, and then she found you in the church and told you what she'd done.
It would have been Gypsy's word against a parson's. I sent her back with wagon and tried to show he was still alive.
Now, you pushed this white surplus out through the wire mesh. You didn't want it found because you hadn't worn it as the parson. You must have barely had time to get the black cassock back on the body.
Oh, it was hard work with my weak arm. You will call sheriff now?
Yeah, pack up your wagon and be gone from here by nightfall. And never come near Northmont again.
What?
Wigger was not a good man. Maybe he wasn't bad enough to deserve what he got. I don't know. I only know that if you stay, I will change my mind.
Oh, Doctor, now we owe you more than ever.
It's a Christmas present. Go, before it fades like the melting snow.
Within an hour, the wagon was on the road, headed south this time. I never told anyone that story. It was the first time I took justice into my own hands, and I never knew if I did right or not. I never saw them again. Another libation? No? Say, did I ever tell you the story about the... Oh, I see you're leaving now, eh? Well, I guess I'll save that story for next time.
Dr. Sam Hawthorne, produced by Dave Amaral and based on the characters created by Edward D. Hoke, appearing in Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine. Heard in tonight's cast were Jim Harmon as Sheriff Lenz, with Gene Duval, Bobby Warren, Lloyd Nesbitt, Fern Ridgway, Jackie Duval, Vi Jameson, and Richard Scott as Dr. Sam Hawthorne. This is Robert Lazich.
The Problem of the Christmas Steeple is copyrighted by the estate of Edward D. Hoke. This recording was adapted to make it suitable for podcast by Jackie Sherbo. You can subscribe to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine, where you'll find more stories like this one, by visiting our website at www.themysteryplace.com/EQMM.